Good morning.
Good morning. This is Lee in California.
Pardon me? Who is this?
This is Lee in California.
Hi, Lee. This is Brenda.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How's your day going?
Just starting out.
Good morning. Hello, this is the Lifestyle Call. This is Brenda. Who's on the line?
Well, I know there's more than two of us.
I think so. That's okay.
This is Veronica from Toronto.
Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning.
How's Toronto today?
Right now it's raining a little bit.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, we would love to see some.
Oh. Let me look out and see what it is. Oh, it's clear. Good morning. This is the Lifestyle Call. Anybody else there today? No. What is happening in your days today, Lee and Veronica?
Well, I'm going to a potluck lunch, but I know they're having corn, so I can have corn.
What are you bringing?
Well, I'd already told them way back that I had a pecan pie in the freezer, so I'm taking that. I don't plan on eating any of it. Because I have, everyone knows what I'm doing and what my husband's doing, but that's about as far as we've gotten.
I, before taking a couscous or a quinoa salad to potluck, and nobody knew anything about what it was because everything was mayonnaise and high fat. So it ended up being the only thing I could eat, but everybody at the potluck just went nuts about it. I think because they've never tasted anything.
That's what I plan on doing next time. It's just this had been said for a long time because we had to cancel it about 3-4 times. So anyway, I plan on doing something like that next time.
So easy, huh?
Yep.
Well, they'll probably have salad as well.
Oh, yeah, that's what I figured. I knew that with corn because it was already said they were having corn. So I know somebody will bring a salad.
Lee, you can look at it as you're really doing a good thing for yourself by getting it out of the house.
That's right. That's exactly what I thought. It's been in the freezer for 6 months.
Oof.
And you can't just throw a pecan pie away.
I could. It really wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't even know. That would never fit me. Drizzle chocolate on it, and I would pick up the chocolate, but nothing.
Oh, I will take the pecan.
Oh. Chocolate and the pecan. You can have pecan.
Yeah, but one good thing about pecan pie is a little sliver is worth a lot. It's so rich. That's all it takes.
Well, I'm not even going to have a little sliver.
Isn't it interesting what turns a person on and somebody else too, or turns somebody else on? You say, wow.
Now it's turning me on. It's a soy ice cream and rice ice cream.
Ooh.
And I shouldn't be having that. But the rice... Sprouts had a sale on the rice ice cream, so I bought some for my husband, so.
You guys are very lucky you have a Sprouts. I have to drive 45 minutes to get to a Trader Joe's, and so all I have in my town is a Save Mart.
They have some delicious soy ice cream, too, but you'd have to be melted by the time you got home.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's just the drive with gas and time.
It isn't worth it.
No, do without. Which do you like better, the soy ice cream or the rice ice cream?
I think the rice.
The rice? Why
yeah.
is that?
Rice Dream. And they have, I've gotten him because I'm trying to put weight on him, I've got him coffee and chocolate and vanilla, and there's a cherry chip even, and mango vanilla he likes.
That sounds good.
So I'm making him have that every night with nuts. And he did say finally, he says, I've gained 2 pounds. It's taken a long time, but he's gained 2 pounds.
Yeah, my husband needs to gain weight too, and I'm having trouble putting weight on him and not feeding him bad stuff. He eats like I eat.
Well, I give him a piece of Ezekiel toast with peanut butter for lunch and dinner. This is an after thing to have with it, and then the ice cream at nighttime. But you can make ice cream too easily. I know somebody was giving, they were talking a couple of days ago about that.
Yeah, we'll start that. But I did want to know this rice. Is the rice, I've had the soy ice cream. Now, the rice ice cream, is it a different texture than the soy?
It's hard, it's so hard, you know, once it's frozen, they're so hard to get out of the container. But the rice, I think, is a little bit harder to get out of the container. But it is, they're both really creamy.
That would be good. So, did anybody else join us?
Good morning, this is Char.
Good morning, Char.
This is Mary Lou in Texas.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
And this is Darlene, California.
Where do you live in California, Darlene?
Northern California, out of Redding.
Oh, okay. I think I've asked you that before. I'm here by San Francisco Airport.
And I'm in the valley. I'm in between.
And I'm 10 miles from McCann.
Now, is that Lee that's 10 miles that close?
Yes. Yes.
Very good. I still need to get back in touch with you, Lee, if I can re-find your phone number, but I'll do someday.
I can give it to you again.
Okay.
714.
Okay.
838-3654.
3654. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did you feel the earthquake yesterday, Lee?
Oh, yes. In fact, it was surprising. My husband's, he was taken off medication that, and anyway, he was taken off of it, and I think he was shaking a little bit, nervous, just a little bit. But he later said, I think the earthquake helped it along. We were at an Alzheimer's meeting, and the table, I mean, he's been in, I mean, he's 87. He was in the Long Beach earthquake, you know, and all these things. And anyway, he said, I've never felt one like that before. It just really kept on and rolled sort of back and forth. And it lasted longer, and it felt different than any he'd ever been before, but we weren't where anything was damaged or anything like that. And it was over. There were no aftershocks, at least. Well, they said there were aftershocks someplace, but we didn't feel any aftershocks. And my daughter was driving a car and didn't feel it at all.
Yeah. The big San Francisco earthquake about, what was it, 10 years ago or more?
Yeah.
My husband was in San Francisco and didn't feel it.
Oh,
I was
my
so
gosh.
Disappointed. I was waiting for a story, but he didn't feel it. So is there anything anybody would like to share with us today? Anything exciting over the night or new come up?
Something I was watching this morning on TV was showing what to do with leftovers, and I've never been a leftover person, but it's stuff that we've talked about on these calls so many times. You know, somebody, I think it was Matt Lauer actually said, you know, some people actually just eat the leftover as a leftover. But the guy that he had on was showing how you can do stuff like we've been doing. You have your rice, and he said the important thing is to make sure that your pantry is well stacked with what you would use. And he mentioned the grains and the pastas and the rice and the tomatoes and, you know, those kind of things that you can add to what's there and just create a dish. was interesting to see that.
Leftover, that leftover rice has been a lifesaver on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting for me when I was down in California to see how much the chefs talked about using reworking dishes and using them in other things that you've done. Even if it was an entree, you're putting it into something else. And I remember thinking about, two or three times I visited the same caterer's business. They were doing wellness executive luncheons during the week. And we went there, and he commented on this, but he also had the dishes. And you could tell, I stood there and I thought about what he had on display, and other than the tossed green salads, which would hold till the next day if you didn't have a dressing on them, of course. I could think of the things that he talked about that he could use those into, or see things that he had taken things and combined to make a dish. And I thought there was never that many different items in it or different seasonings originally, and I was right. It was just redoing what was there. And you change it dramatically, and you don't even know you're eating the same thing. So I'm one of those that have loved leftovers, but I kept them pretty much the same the next time I used them. I don't anymore. To me, it's just a real time saver.
But you need to be prepared with having the stuff on hand, the extra stuff.
Right, so just make double the amount. It doesn't take much longer to make double the amount.
Yeah, but even in your pantry, you know, if you're going to add some chopped tomatoes and it's the middle of the winter, you have a can of tomatoes that you can use in your pantry, or pasta that you can whip up in your pantry, or quinoa, you know, all those good grains and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I know I grew up with my mother having probably the best stocked pantry. That I ever saw, ever, and quantities available on hand because she always shopped the sales.
Mm.
Well, I may not be necessarily shopping the sales, but I want the variety for strictly convenience. And I was thinking of the last few times I've looked at new recipes, I've had absolutely everything there that was required for the recipe. And more so with even picking up some of the condiments that I love to use to keep on hand, capers and things like that, you know, an extra jar or two in the pantry as well as an open one in the refrigerator. And it makes things so much faster, so much easier, and actually a lot less expensive also to do it when you see them available instead of searching for just the item that's needed in the recipe. So grains on hand and beans and all of that, you know, it's very, very easy to stock them, and just rotate them when you pick up new. I have even backups sometimes in bigger quantities in the in our basement storage. I love working that way. It makes things go so much faster. The shopping is a breeze.
Oh, yeah. He said you can even extend the life of your soup, you know, and have that grow with you. If you have extra grilled vegetables left over from tonight, throw them into your soup and just let the soup grow again.
Throw them into your soup or throw them into the freezer for a batch for later. So you've got, and the same thing with broth. I put broth that was left over that, you know, I didn't want to lose in the freezer, and you've got the base the next time you start.
Those are good ideas. Hey, I went to T.F. Chang's over the weekend. I was at, I think I mentioned, Bee Health Joint Training. I was at a training this weekend. And so I'm in T.F. Chang's looking for something good to eat and asked the waitress what there was. She recommended this coconut. The word coconut was in it. But, what was it? It's a vegetarian dish with, the name just left me. Well, I'll come up with that later. Anyway, I had remembered seeing that, I thought it was that dish online, saying that you'd think it would be very low fat because it's a vegetarian dish, but it had a lot of fat in it. And I asked her what was in it. I ordered it. I ate it. It was absolutely delicious. I could not believe how good it was with the brown rice because I couldn't figure out this black bean one that there, I couldn't find it on the menu, the black bean sauce one. So she went back and she got exactly what was in it for me. It was really cool. And she came out and she said curry. It was a curry sauce on it. She came out and she said it has 650 calories in the dish and 35 grams of fat.
Oh.
And I went, oh, where's fat? Is it coconut milk or coconut oil or what's in the dish? And she said, there is absolutely no milk in it. There is no coconut in it of any sort.
There's no coconut in it?
No coconut in it. She said, I don't know why it's called coconut, but there's no coconut in it. It's sesame oil and whatever else is in the sauce. But then I figured out, look, I ate less than half of it because it's this huge dish, so that takes it down to 300 calories, and three-fourths of the sauce was still in the bowl. So I'm looking at maybe 10 grams of fat. The brown rice had no fat on it, and I was so full and satisfied, and it was so good. So I was kind of proud of myself and proud of it because thinking, you know, at first sight, something might look really horrible, and it had tofu. Some tofu in it, but it was good. And the next day I went to another restaurant and did the same thing, ordered this vegetable dish. And it had a little bit of cheese in the ratatouille, a Johnny Carino's ratatouille, that's a movie. Anyway, and I asked them, so what's in this? And they came back and they told me exactly what was in it. They must have in the back all of the ingredients and all of the nutrition breakdown. So I recommend that when you're out eating. And tell the waiter, look, I appreciate these vegetarian dishes because they told me a lot of people don't even order them. And my comment to them was, well, a lot of people don't know how good the vegetables taste. Has anybody done that?
We went to a Japanese restaurant Saturday night for the very first time, and you could either eat on the hibachi side or the, I think it was called the dinner side, traditional side. So when we got there, I asked the gal who was going to see us, you know, what's the difference? And I think basically the menu may be similar or pretty much the same. But one, they cook right in front of you, I think. So she said, you're better off on this side. So we sat on the traditional side. And I must have said something about vegetables, and she recommended, and it was a vegetable something, and they put it in their soup, which I guess is their traditional soup that had, it was a clear broth that had mushrooms in it, because Marty got it with his dinner, and then they put the whole thing over a whole wheat noodle, and that's what she recommended for me, and it was really very good. The soup was not salty at all. And, you know, a variety of vegetables in there, and the noodles were whole wheat. So that was an interesting experience for us, too.
And you can get the wheat noodles at Olive Garden.
Really?
Yeah, on the bottom, wow. Right-hand side in small print of the menu, it says, upon request.
Hmm.
It's a whole wheat fettuccine noodle.
Isn't fettuccine the cream sauce?
Whiter?
Yeah. You could probably get it with a marinara too, I'll bet.
Yeah. So I've done that. Mm-hmm. I walk in and say, I would like this with the marinara and put me some vegetables on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do.
Mm-hmm. I've done that too. Pasta primavera.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, fettuccine refers to the width of the noodles. Linguine, fettuccine, spaghetti are the different widths. And Alfredo would be the...
You're right.
Yeah.
Veronica, I'm in Cleveland and it's pouring. Is Veronica still on in Toronto with the rain? Maybe not.
Must be all the way across because we're getting drizzles too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I'm sending it to you. I'm sending it to you. No. We haven't had rain in a while, so this is nice. I'm sorry to disrupt the call.
Oh, that's nice.
Hi, Mother. Hello, this is Jeannie. I've been listening in. Char, when you were talking about pasta, the pasta types, I thought of my mom. She said, one time she said, "What is pasta?" And I realized that she thought that it was, we had grown up, we had macaroni and cheese and stuff, so she thought macaroni was just macaroni. It wasn't a type of pasta, so we had to explain to her what types there were. Like, linguine's flat and spaghetti is long. She knew what spaghetti was.
And lasagna.
And lasagna. Mm-hmm.
Macaroni and tomatoes was a basic in our house. Has anybody, do you eat that, macaroni and tomatoes?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a cheap one, Cook some macaroni and dump in a can of tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You'd eat it with potatoes, fried potatoes, but now I do baked potatoes.
You could do the same thing now and just add other veggies too.
Yeah, but it changes it. I add basil or garlic. It's really good with basil and garlic.
Uh-huh. Do you cook the garlic when you cook?
A bowl of macaroni and tomatoes and almost like a soup. But Yeah, since tomatoes are good. Oh, here's one for you. I was at work yesterday doing a fair-haired lady's hair, and she's a redhead with the light skin. She teaches, and she said her hair's thinning, so she's been getting sunburn on the top of her head so much. And she went to the doctor to see what she could do about that other than just wear a hat at recess time with the kids all the time, teacher. And he gave her sunscreen, which she read in the sunscreen, and it causes hair thinning. And she said, "Well, that's not good because my problem is my hair is thinning and I'm getting sunburned. So why put this chemical on my head for my head?" And I went, it clicked to me because I like gathering information. And my friend who owns Bee Health, Kathy, had told me before how to not get sunburned. And I said, "I think Kathy told me carrots, eat carrots. And, was it tomatoes? It's something like that." So I called Kathy. She called me right back.
Tomato.
2 carrots a day extends the time you can be in the sun by 1 hour without burning.
Dr. Otter says tomato paste or any, the tomato powder.
Mm-hmm.
And you're better off with a processed tomato rather than off
the time. That's why I was thinking tomatoes, too, but carrots. So her son, same complexion, red. Had a lot of freckles, and she's been feeding him 2 carrots a day, and he now has no freckles, and he can be in the sun.
Wow.
I thought carrots was pretty interesting thing to remember, so when you're going to the lake, make sure you start eating those carrots. It's so many, she gave me the, I don't remember because I was working, but the grams of beta-carotene, anything with beta-carotene. Helps you to resist the sun.
Good to know. I'll have to pass that on to my brothers.
Well, that's always been a problem in my mind, everybody slathering on lots of sunscreen, because it is a chemical.
Do you have a source that I could read a little bit more on the carrots?
I could ask her. I would just Google carrots, find out.
I mean, I've never heard that, but I burn something terrible. And I don't like to use, I just try to stay out of the sun because I don't like to use sunscreens. I've read too much about them, not really. I've read too much about them causing skin cancer instead of the other way around.
Well, being a cosmetologist, I've been through some classes on skin, and there is drug in the sunscreen, and it absorbs
right.
Your skin. We know what the skin does. So I'm pretty careful with that. I don't use it.
I think there are a couple of safer sunscreens that are out there. I think Andrew Weil has one. You might check his website. I think Mercola may have one. I know that since I've been on this kick with vitamin D since last summer, my 15 to 20 minutes a day, now I'm not fair complected anyway, but I've found that the older I get, the more likelihood there is, if I'm out there for a real long time, that I would burn if I missed a spot with the suntan lotion. But by doing it for 15 or 20 minutes a day, I come in and I feel like I haven't even gotten any, you know, any color. But here I am, the end of July, and I have a nice tan. I have never burned at that amount of time. So for somebody who's wanting to increase their vitamin D, number one, you know, if you're fair, 5 minutes a day and gradually increase it to 10. And I think that you might get a base coat that will help protect you.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's some food for thought. If 2 carrots a day extends the time you can be in the sun by 1 hour, how many carrots do you need to eat to be in the sun for as much time as we are in the sun that day? So, or beta carotene. Or just make sure it's in your diet all the time.
Nancy, this is Mary Lou.
And Mary Lou.
Elaborate a little bit about your vitamin D. A lady was questioning me yesterday as I was in a store at the vitamin counter looking for a special kind of biotin, and she was saying how much her doctor had her on. Like, ooh, a huge amount.
Okay.
So why are you taking so much more of it?
Well, the best place to get vitamin D is the sun.
Well, that's what I told her.
And, you know, I've heard from several different sources that 15, 20 minutes a day is all you need, and it starts building up in your body. You know, living in Cleveland, we don't get a whole lot of sun once we hit October.
Uh-huh.
What I'm going to be, I know I can't store enough to get me through the winter.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing as much as I can now, and I started this last summer. All of a sudden, I had an aha moment. I thought, I'm going to start doing this. And so I go out not every single day. We won't even have sun today, but probably 3-4 times a week for 15, 20 minutes, and that's all I needed. You know, and I have shorts on and a T-shirt, and I roll my sleeves up, and I'm getting what I can to, you know, to build that storage.
Okay, and so then you're not doing anything but supplements, like when you can't get into the sun. But
I
don't know, Dr. Milligrams that he was telling her, and she was back in there looking for more to take more, and I thought, gosh.
You know, the Osteodense is my update I'm using big time. Doctors are finally realizing that a lot of people are vitamin D deficient and are, you know, you should require, when you go to your doctor, ask him that you want that included in your blood work to see where your D level is. Because, you know, how many, if you live above on the East Coast, Atlanta, you're going to be vitamin D deficient in the winter because you can't get up in the sun. So, you know, I'm trying to do what I can.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome.
Did you notice a certain difference, Nancy, when you started doing the sun every day? In
no, but I like the color when I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, last summer I also went to the pool. This summer I've only been there once. I can't believe it. But I'm happy just sitting out for 15 or 20 minutes. I do my Kegels while I'm out there, and it relaxes me, so I'm fine. You know, that's enough for me. And no, I haven't noticed it. Do I feel any differently with my body?
That relaxation feels good, though.
Yeah, and a friend of mine actually was D deficient, and her doctor put her on pharmaceutical strength D, and she was noticing her legs were really hurting her, and that's why she went to the doctor and found out she was D deficient. And she does not go on the sun. Like,
I know a lady who's fibromyalgia, lupus, she has all the illnesses, and she goes into her garden during the day and lays down in the middle of her garden on the dirt.
Oh, okay.
And it helps her. She said she gets closer to the earth.
Yeah, that's good to do, too.
And get... I don't know about something crawling on me. I don't think I would be too well with that. But she does. She'll even take a nap out there.
But even in my Tai Chi class, she said, go out there barefoot on your lawn and, you know, get the energy from the earth. So, yeah, that's a good thing to do.
So, is there anything on anyone else's mind? Questions or thoughts?
When you were saying a while ago about using just the macaroni with the tomatoes,
yeah.
I have ran across a can, and I've shared this before, but I'll re-mention it. If you get a can of the diced tomatoes that have the basil, garlic, and oregano in it, and the brand is Del Monte, and I really have to look for it in our area here in Texas, and it makes all the difference in the dish.
Okay.
There's just no comparison. I got even another brand like Hunt's tomatoes, and it just didn't work at all. But get the one that's Del Monte diced tomatoes with basil, garlic, and oregano. You might be able to, you know, find another can and just add those spices to it, but I didn't quite get it with trying to do that way with the right amounts. So these are great if you for a quick something that you just need to add in with the dish. It sure does make a different flavor.
They've been in there. Like spaghetti tastes better the next day.
Do what?
The spices have been in there for a while.
Uh-huh.
So it's going through that food.
Uh-huh. But it sure is good that way.
I'll try that. That'll be good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because I'm kind of like you. I don't live close to some of those places where you can buy, like the items you were talking earlier. I'm away from any area that has that much, you know, organic places and different things. But we have, of course, this summer we're doing great because we have farmers markets that are really open and doing real good. So that helps.
I was trying to make a pizza last night. And the funny thing was, I was at the store and thought, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of cheese on top of this pizza so my husband will be happy. We're on half of it. And I must have spent 30 minutes in front of the cheeses trying to figure out what to get because I couldn't find anything that said organic. And after talking to the guy next door to my work, who's a biochemist who studies the milk, I really didn't want to get anything that wasn't organic to put on my pizza. It was quite a feat. I ended up not getting anything. They only had what looked like processed cheddar soy cheese in the grocery store. I could not find anything to make this pizza better, and it wasn't all that great anyway, even though I made the whole wheat crust and vegetables. There was just something missing. I said, I'm going to go back to my old veggie recipe that I use without cheese, but I guess I remember, Char, you mentioned the pizza that they served at the McDougal thing. Did they happen to tell you how they did that?
With the cheese, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, they used the vegan cheese or the non-animal cheese.
It's a vegan mozzarella. Or
yes, they do have, both, I can't remember, they've got rice cheeses, almond cheeses, and soy cheeses that are very, very common in the market now. And I don't remember which one they used, but one of them, and most of them, they've improved them enough that they are melting. Now, what you can watch, and I'm pretty sure the cleaner ones are the ones that do not have the soy casein. And I'm not sure that the other ones with the casein are a problem, like the almond or the
rice. So, you know, I can't say for sure. There's a lot of controversy on some of those over-processing products. And so I use them very sparingly, but you're using that very sparingly. It's not like you're putting a cup or two of it on at a time. So I use it periodically and find that it does a great replacement for me. And a lot of them come in individual slices. And when they're in individual slices, individually wrapped, I should say, I'll just take a slice or two and then cut it very, very thin, like not more than a quarter of an inch wide, and scatter that on top, and it will melt down.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering, too, because I'm finding them in individual slices, but I don't want to waste my money buying something, bringing it home, and having it just awful.
Well, I haven't found any of them that were awful. Some are better than others, and to be honest with you, I can't tell you which one. So I always have one of the white cheeses and one of the yellow cheeses that represent, cheddar, in there to use very sparingly. And the ones that are individually wrapped keep wonderfully well, and I've also thrown them in the freezer so you can pull out, and so you're not being wasteful or, you know, having it go bad.
That was my thought too. You said using it very sparingly a few times because I'm like, okay, am I just getting into the processed soy stuff a lot? I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to start leaning on processed.
And the other thing that I agree with you. And the other thing that I think about too is you can use the nutritional yeast, which is not brewer's yeast, don't confuse the two, the nutritional yeast flakes that are really, really high in your B vitamins, and you can use that to sprinkle on. It's not going to have the same look that the cheese does, but it gives that kind of a flavor. And then also kind of watch for the recipes for making the different cheese substitutes that you know what you're putting in then, and you don't have those added preservatives, added ingredients, and you can still get, you know, a different flavor. It's not going to be identical to what we had when we were using cheese, but it's another flavor that adds seasoning to things. And so I haven't gotten too far down that last one that I'm just commenting on, but that is one that I'm, you know, anxious to play with and try, so.
I have made it one time for a lasagna out of McDougall's things, the nutritional yeast, and it kind of had a texture of sour cream.
Okay.
Or cream cheese, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Well, I haven't forgotten your sour cream and your Caesar salad dressing. I'm just keep putting in more names of people that are requesting it, so I'm sitting here working on that now, guys. So it should be out before I get up to go have breakfast.
Okay. Is there anything new? Anything else? Anything new?
Around here, it just keeps going on with media coverage. Boy, we had a wellness preview last night, and the testimonies on the products were absolutely incredible. Just new ones coming in all the time, and more. And, you know, it just reminds us that if we've been here for a while, they work the same as they did when we got excited the first few that we ever heard. And we need to keep that in mind for sharing with other people.
Thing that's on, I'm thinking about at this time since I've done this movement class, I have felt through the time that I've been with NECAN, I can feel every different thing that I put on, the wrist, the air, the water, everything has made a difference in me and how I do, my sleep system, my food, and now I'm adding the exercise, and there's Just a note for you to start thinking about. There's difference in exercise. We can cause damage to ourselves when we run out and start exercising improperly. They said walking is the best, and we know that. And so when you start getting every joint in your body moving without pain, just move it the direction it can go, more in circles. And your feet is number one. There's so many bones in your feet. It's amazing how when you get your ankles to move, your right shoulder will start to feel better. That it goes together with all of the stuff that Mekan has so well. It's just amazing. And so we think, let's get out and exercise. Well, what do? But just gently start loosening up those joints. And my sleep just, boom, improved so much. I lay straight flat out on my back. Never have done that. So if we can just, that gentle, it's a big thing that I've noticed. One more step.
Another one I've been aware of, Brenda, when you say that, it makes me think, because I was feeling tension in my shoulders, is posture. When you're sitting or when you're walking, throw your shoulders back. It will make such a difference in the way your body, your whole alignment feels. And I don't know, for some reason I had gotten into a habit. I don't think I've ever had really poor posture, but I've gotten into a habit of not putting my shoulders back. And even when I'm standing doing things or just anything, I had been slumping. And that makes such a difference with your energy and the way your body feels, is to keep that alignment.
It does. And so what I'm learning is your neurological system will, it reads, it's like having an alphabet without an R in it. So if you don't have a joint that moves, your whole system's messed up. And so it'll relearn it. So if you're sitting at a desk, computer desk, bent over all day long, your system's going to remember, that's how I'm supposed to be, that's how I'm supposed to be, that's how I'm supposed to be. So the more you straighten up or move back or do something different, the more your system will relearn, oh, I can go that way too, I can go that way too. So it's very amazing what the human body can do. And there is one quickie I can give you over the phone, in posture, in standing up. When you stand up, make sure your feet are squared off like a box, straight ahead of you. Not ducked out, not pigeon-toed in. Have your feet about hip distance apart. Stand straight. Relax all of your body as you're standing. Don't have tight stomach. Don't have tight shoulders. Don't have tight calves. And try to press the top of your head up to the ceiling. And that'll put you in straight alignment. Just do that stretch and then exhale and release. And then it's not really a stretch, it's just standing up. And then hold your arms straight out to the side like an airplane. Stretch them just a tad and do that top of your head up, heels into the floor again, and release. And then hold your hands straight above your head. Do the same thing. Stretch up, release. And then with your pelvis straight ahead, turn the top of your body to a 45-degree angle. Do the same thing. Top of your head up to the ceiling. Release, exhale. Do the other side. Start your morning with that. It'll take you 1 minute to get through. And it makes a huge difference. And if you do that 3 times a day as you're thinking, you will feel better in 2 weeks.
I was just going to add, one of the things that I've learned in Tai Chi is to take your arms up over your head facing each other. Do not lock your elbows and hold them there and then stretch back. That opens up the whole chest. And, you know, that allows the chest to... Pardon me?
If you're stretching back, that's compressing your spine. So exhale when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can come forward, but the better tendency is to open up the chest so that you allow all the air to in.
Yeah, there's a lot of chest opening and a lot of different things, but just that posture alignment, if you just focus on that one thing and do it perfect, don't do it haphazardly. When you do it perfect. I like to
see if anybody does it and see how you feel.
What was the last part of it there that you said after you'd done everything and beside, but then you said that you had come along after you, you know, had your pelvic straight and then your body was up? What was the very last part of it that you
said? When you're standing straight ahead.
Uh-huh.
And you turn to a 45 degree to the side.
Uh-huh.
Just turn the top of your body. Keep your pelvis facing forward.
Uh-huh.
And then bring the top of your, think about the top of your head up and your heels into the floor. And then exhale and release.
So that you're turning from the waist.
You're turning, yeah, from the waist.
Okay. And then when your hands are out, you said that they needed to be up. The,
you know,
palms up. Is that what you're saying?
No, palms down.
Palms down. Okay, that's what I wasn't sure about. Okay.
And just kind of stretch them out just a little bit, but the stretch is through the midsection of your body.
Thank
you. Like Char was saying, for the posture, what that'll do is it'll start locking the memory of your body into that posture. So if you do that just 3 times a day, after 2 weeks, you're going to notice that your posture's starting to want to be straighter on its own without thinking about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Is there anything else anybody would like to add today? Okay, thank you all for coming and talking with us today. First, let me thank our Active Study Pilot Group for their time and commitment to this program. And second, thanks to all our guests for their attendance today. If you have questions or comments, let me direct you to the person who invited you to this call. Have a wonderful day, and please join us again on this most important journey.
Thanks, Brenda. Good call.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.